A very good morning. On behalf of Team 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Today's daf, Shabbos Kuf Nun Dalid 154b, pagination, is page 308, and that's the piece I hope to get to, but I would like to preface it with a piece from yesterday's daf. So on Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph 153a at the Mishnah, we only did yesterday the first few words of the Mishnah, which was Mishehichshech Bederech. If a person found it was getting dark on the way, Nosen Kiso LeNachri, he gives his wallet to a non-Jew. Normally, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do work for you on Shabbos. Over here, we're worried that the person will end up carrying it himself. And therefore, we need to find a leniency for him, so we allowed him to give the wallet to the non-Jew to carry it for him. Says the Mishnah, Vim ein imo nachri, and if he does not have a non-Jew available to carry it for him, manicho al hachamor, he's allowed to put the wallet on the donkey, and the donkey will carry it for him. That's step one. And then it says, Higia l'chotzer achitzona, when you get to the outermost gate, the first secure place of the city, notala sakelim anitalim b'Shabbos, you take off whatever you're allowed to remove from the donkey on Shabbos, anything that's not muktzah, you do it yourself, v'she'en intalim b'Shabbos, and if you're not allowed to handle on Shabbos, because it's muktzah, mater achavolim, you undo the ropes, v'hasakim noflim mayaleim, and you just let the sacks drop off. You can't leave the things on the donkey the way we paskin that Tzaba Aleichayim is the Oraisa. But here are the solutions. Now, on Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, the Gemara poses a provocative question to this solution of having your animal carry your valuables. So I'm on page 306 right now. Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Beis 153b, and counting from the wide lines, counting up, I'm counting about 10 lines. At the end of a line, it says Vahalo Mechamer. Vahalo Mechamer. That should be good. Yeah, good. V'halo mechamer. Mechamer means that the animal is walking and doing malacha as a result of your voice. You're telling him to do it for you. So over here, very clearly, you're putting the stuff on his back and you're getting it to go. So that should be a violation, and that is a biblical violation. V'rachmana omar lo sasa ko malacha. Not supposed to do any malacha, which includes getting your animal to do malacha for you. So why is this such a brilliant solution, which the Mishnah is mentioning? We would think that the Mishnah is only going to suggest rabbinic violations we will absolve you of. But a biblical violation for the sake of your money, how did we pull that off? Amar Ravada Barava, Ravada Barava says there's a special technique which is being used here. Manichu ala kishihima haleches. You're putting the goods on the animal while it's walking so that you are not actually getting the animal to do the akira, the lifting up from its current location, because it was never stable. You put it down on the animal while the animal was walking. And therefore there is no akira. But the animal is going to stop to do its bodily needs, so it comes to a stop. V'ika akira v'hanacha, and then you're going to get into this thing that the animal is doing it for you. And he poses the possibility, kishehi mahaleches manicho aleha, while the animal is walking, you put the thing on it. Kishehi omedes, whenever it stops, notlo emena, you take it off, so that you're never actually getting the animal to do the uplifting, the akira, the moving it from its stable location. Now, the wording here deserves comment, It says kishehi omedes, when it stops. So one approach, which I believe is the approach of the Rambam, is that you are picking it off the animal as it is stopping, before it actually stops, so that there's neither an akira, because you put it on while it's walking, and there's no anocha either, because you pull it off before it comes to a stop. The way it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, though, is not like that. The way it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, and the Bir Halacha observes this, is the wording is that it stops and then you pick it off. And these are other Rishonim who say that as long as it doesn't have an Akira, as long as it never uplifted itself from a stable location, as long as you put it on while it was walking, you could take it off once it stops. Which, in logistics, just makes this a more livable solution. Just trying to envision what this guy is expected to do, the stranded traveler, what's he expected to do here? So, to put it on the animal, you put it on while the animal's walking. But to take it off, according to Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to wait till it stops. How do you know when it's going to stop? It stops. You could take it off, and then you put it on again once it is moving. Okay. Let's turn on to today's daf. Once this stranded traveler got to a safe location, to a safe, secure location, what is he supposed to do in order to unload the animal? Just a quick observation. The Bir Halacha asks, Shulchan Aruch already has the discussion, is the stranded traveler allowed to ride the donkey? So he observes that if the person is very far out of town, so that he's going to be in violation of the Tchum anyway, and there's also Sakana for him to walk so slowly with the animal, so then it is probable that he would be able to ride the animal because it is the lesser of the available problems that are confronting us. It's just interesting to observe that that is directly addressed. What about the traveler himself? And there might be a case where he himself is allowed to ride. Okay, so we're now on Kuf Nun Dalid Amid Beis, 154b. Three lines down, that's pagination 308, at the two dots. Higia l'chotzer hachitzona. You finally get to the outer gate of town, and you're ready to unload. What are you supposed to do? Amar Rav Huna said, Haisa behemto tu'unoi kalei zuchuches. What happens if the animal is loaded up with glass vessels, or anything breakable? So what are you supposed to do? So the Mishnah told us that anything that's not muktza, you simply take off yourself. Anything that is muktza, you undo the ropes, and it'll fall to the ground. So the Gemara asks, what about glass? Maybe karim v'kistos, you put pillows underneath the animal, or maniach techteo, you put it underneath, umaterach avolim, you undo the ropes, v'asakin noflim, and the sacks will fall onto the pillows, and that's how you save your glass. Asks the Gemara the question you're probably thinking. V'anan t'nan notelas akelim anintalim v'shabes. You're allowed to take off anything that's not muktza. Drinking glasses? They're not muktza. What are you busy with your pillows? Why don't you just take it off and carry it off, right? The case of glass that we had a problem with was blood letters glass. Glass that's used, vials that are used, they used to use blood, use this as a technique for health. We do it only for blood testing, but regardless of how often it was done or whatever, there's such a product. The product is a glass vial, a test tube. It's muktza. So the only solution not to have them break was to put pillows underneath, because you're not allowed to use these things on Shabbos. So you put pillows there, and you lower it. Ask the Gemara, but you're nullifying a vessel from its proper use, meaning the pillows are now going to get stuck as a base for these vials, which you didn't want them to break. I'm sympathetic to you, but you're going to end up with the pillows nullified for Shabbos, locked in place, so to speak, which is a discussion that we had, that it's similar to either bona or soser. Mevatel kli meichano, nullifying an item from its use, is like cementing it to its location on Shabbos. It's some level of rabbinic violation. And the Gemara answers, b'shalifi zutri, it must be that it's small vials, which you're able to bounce them onto the pillow, and then bounce them off safely, and the pillow is still usable for Shabbos. In halacha, the question comes up, what about big glass things? That you need the pillow, because it's mukta, and it is going to nullify the pillow for Shabbos. And the question that exists is that you cannot leave these things on the animal for Shabbos if they're that heavy, because the animal is going to be in enormous pain. So, in other words, it's clear that you're going to have to get it off the animal. The question which the Bir Halacha brings is a nice machlokas, is whether you're going to have to let the things break, or you're going to be allowed to violate the rabbinic thing of Mevata Kli Mehichano, nullifying the pillow in place for Shabbos. That's your choice. Either the things are going to break, or you're going to let them sit on the pillow for Shabbos and lock the pillow in place. Either one of those situations is the way we paskin. It's a machlokas, which one is preferable to do, whether you have to lose the product or you are allowed to use the pillow. But what's fascinating is that the option of leaving the thing on the animal is not an option, because of Tzar Ba'alei Chayim, the pain to the animal, and something has to give. Either you're going to have to give that the thing's going to break, or you're going to have to give on a rabbinic leniency to allow you to nullify the pillow for Shabbos. Yashar Koach, have a great day.